welcome to this special Italian wine podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wines. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Before the show, here is a shout out to our new sponsor, Fero Wine. Fero Wine has been the largest wine shop in Italy since 1920. They have generously supplied us with our new t-shirt. Would you like one? Just donate 50 euros and it's all yours. Plus, we'll throw in our new book, Jumbo Shrimp Guide to International Grape Varieties in Italy. For more info, go to italianwinepodcast.com and click donate, or check out Italian Wine Podcast on Instagram.
Welcome everyone to our room. My name is Stevie Kim. I promote wine. I study wine. Mostly I drink Italian, but will not refuse others. I think they know that. Just bear with us here while we get the panelists all settled, and myself mostly due to Wi-Fi. As you can see from the title of this room, this call will be recorded. We may use to repurpose the recording on our other channels, or we may just chuck the whole thing. But you should all know that we are recording this. I run a couple of rooms each week, usually on Wednesdays. We focus on one target market for a wine business. We have done a couple of sessions for China, and we are also scheduled for Korea and Japan for the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that as well. On Thursday, we dedicate to the wine producers. And tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central European time, we will be hosting another room with four Italian women Amarone producers from Valpolicella. So please join us with that as well. Back to today. For those of you joining us just now, we will be talking about the state of the art of the wine market in Russia. With the illustrious panel we have today, could have definitely called it the movers and shakers in Russia wine business. For the primers, the newbies, I like to keep my room a bit on the tighter side, albeit a Wi-Fi problems. So let me share with you a skinny rundown. We will be presenting and chit-chatting with the panelists for the first bit, and then we will open to questions the second half of the talk today. As always, this room will have the duration of 60 minutes to keep some boundaries. I'd like to first welcome our panelists today. I'm very, very happy to have our panelists join us today because I've known some of them for more than a decade, and usually I get a chance to see them at least once a year in Russia during Vinitaly. By the way, Vinitaly Russia is at its 17th edition and just around the corner. In full disclosure, I have not been presenting myself as Vinitaly on Clubhouse, but I would be remiss if I did not mention Vinitaly today, as they are all friends of Vinitaly as well. So Vinitaly had originally been scheduled in October last year, but due to pandemic, we had postponed it a couple of times. And finally, Vinitaly is scheduled for 23rd of March in Moscow and 25th of March in St. Petersburg. So let us begin. So I would like to begin with Irina Fomina. She is a dear friend.
Okay, so hi, hello everybody. My name is Irina, as Stevie said. So we started our wine business in 1995. For Russia, it's a pretty, our company is a pretty mature. I can't tell you old because it's not great word, but nevertheless very mature, but very young at the same time. So we have 100 exclusive contracts with different wine houses, and so from all over the world. We started from France, but afterwards it was really a big, we have very big portfolio of Italian producers. And as I know, in Russia now, we have 230 wine importers, but this number I give you including logistic companies. sometimes it's rather difficult to divide the wine importers and logistic companies who import for wine importers in their favor. About wine markets in Russia, we can maybe take the numbers of 2020 and the volume in euro was 887 million, and the result in comparison to 2019 is 2% minus. And so the only category from wines and still wines which didn't decline was champagne. Still wines minus 1% and sparkling minus 7%. I am so just all these numbers, they are this is value. Russian people, they like wine and they are great drinkers. That's why during pandemic they also did it and they are doing it, they continue. And so I think that in 2021 we will recuperate all the losses, and as for our company, the year 2020 was a little bit worse than 2019. But in spite of this, we are rather happy with the results in such a difficult situation.
Okay, so I guess we'll move to Daria. Let's see if Anatoly can come back on. So Daria. Hello, Daria. Welcome.
Yes. Hello. Hello, Stevie.
Hi, Daria. How are you? When I met Daria, she was like a young lady. She's the international marketing director for Fort Wine, another importer, and Horeca wine distributor. She has about 14 years of experience in wine import and marketing in Russia. Let me ask you the question. What are the numbers we must know about Russian wine market as newcomers?
Yeah, of course, Stevie. Just I will add some more information from the Irina speech. So about the top countries, according to the Russian custom statistic, last year it was Italy with 33% of the market share, which is the biggest pie. Then we have France with 18%, Spain is 14%, Georgia 12%, and Chile is 4%. All the other countries have share less than 4% in the wine industry. If we are talking about the biggest growth of the category, last year we see a big growth for New Zealand wine, and I think it's a worldwide trend for 43%. Then also Portugal, Austria, and Germany, with also big growth, more than 20%. If we are talking about new trends in a distributor business, of course we switch to different kind of the marketing attitude, and now we try to develop our B2B connection and skills using some fairs, and your fair of last year with the B2B summit was a really fantastic organization, and thanks for that we met some interesting producers. More than that, it was really a lot of useful information, I can say. And of course, now all the distributors are searching for the producers that are reactive in social media. And this is like my big advice for them. Of course, the main trend is now, because of our devaluation, which is also with the COVID, is two big info cases that was happened last year. Devaluation was around 30%, and distributors have had to raise the pricing for all the wines. And now, of course, we all the distributors are searching price quality products with the new pricing, which is because of the ruble devaluation. So this is, I think,
What is the exchange rate now, more or less?
It's around 90 per €1 per €1. Yeah. In rubles, I mean,
oh my
90
goodness.
Rubles, yeah, yeah. And this is like a big point, what is happening now in the wine business. What we also see that small companies, family houses of Italy, and not only, even Burgundy houses now have more available wine. And this wine, because of the Horeca closure in Europe, and this wine finally can be available in Russia. And of course, we are more than welcoming these small houses to contact us and just to share some reserves and so on for Russian market. It will be very interesting to see them.
Great, thank you, Daria. So I'd like to now introduce to Vlada Lesnichenko. She's kind of a fun person to always be around. Yeah. She's what I would call wine influencer. I don't know if she likes to be called that, but she's definitely one in Russia. And she's the founder of Wine Wrestling. I have no idea what that is, so maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. And she also is very much the pioneer in terms of social engagement with the wine lovers and the wine community. She's also a consultant for, of course, a lot of restaurants and the hospitality business. So my question to you today is, what are the wine trends in general and new consumer behaviors worth noting in Russia right now? And if is there a new norm for the wine business? What has changed since the pandemic?
Okay. Hi, Stevie. Thank you, Stevie. And hi, dear listeners and speakers. My name is Vlada. I agree with everything you say, as usual. So as for the current pandemic, new normal trends, whatever you call it, we are quite at the same place as the whole world. We have maybe three big trends. They are women, healthy lifestyle, moderation, and staying at home. Even in Russia, staying at home is very, you know, modern because Horeca is open. By the way, but still people staying at home, and I'm telling you why. Last week I conducted Zoom tasting for top bank department for the people taking and making decisions there, and they were celebrating the anniversary of staying at home, and they were absolutely happy about it. They delivered fondue. They were delivered with fondue. They making by their own. They drinking Alpine wines, for example, Gattinara Antoniolo, Tiarvin by Licret, and Pinot Noir from Austria. Very trendy, I think. And they were having pleasure, having fun. They having every minute of their, you know, of their life with work and with fun. So these three social trends making the strong influence on wine consumption as general. If you come into every average restaurant or the wine bar, you can hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
You can meet up to 80-85% of women as consumers. And they are quite healthy soil to develop the culture and wine consumption as they are curious. They easily changing their decisions. They readily skipping to unknown variety or style. And they even rising their budget on glass or bottle. And they are absolutely not into ratings. They are into opinion, they are ready to trust. And that is the great audience to work with. With the women trend, we're watching the demand on sparkling wines, white, aromatic and low alcohol wines. As for the health, health is not much associated with alcohol, and frankly, Russia is not the straight wine country, even though we have sea mountains and vineyards itself. People are looking for light food and light drinks to have fitness in the morning. So we have a tangible trend for sparkling wines, as I told you before, from our local Sharma wines through Prosecco as a tonal trend in Russia to champagne made by Ricoltans. Wine lists at restaurants, wine bars and wine shop collections compete in every affordable and very selective choice of the sparkling wines by glasses by now. And now people are looking for small wineries, not the big brands as before. Even in terms of Pinot Grigio, they're trying to select the best of the range. They refuse to drink wines from supermarkets, at the restaurants and at home as well. They claim to be amused with any money they pay. So white wines from Italy, very trendy as usual, but we have much more now on the list. Pinot Grigio as a tonal trend, Vermentino, Gavi, Soave, Trentino Alto Adige, and Sicily wines together with Vigno Verde trend, together with Riesling and Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand for sure. Reds are the borderline for the beginners and wine lovers, for lower middle and niche wealthy drinkers. So mass market trend is a fruit bomb with a fresh attitude, like Apocimiento from Puglia or Barbera from Piemonte, together with Zinfandel as well. And Chianti is always on the top of the sales. As for advanced wine lovers, the stand between Toscana and Piemonte, tiny wineries is still very fashionable, plus Alta Piemonte, plus Lombardia for the fresh and ready to drink Nebbiola. Etna is a good niche trend as well. So we can see that we're looking for Pinot Noir affordable substitute. That's why we have a dynamic red German sales trend. Rosé is very trendy, but not in the rest, but not at home, but in the restaurants, because it is very good glass choice, and it is a perfect match for Asian and for Eastern cuisine, as for seafood, for example, and vegetables as well. And local Italian grape varieties, especially. Do you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we hear you. Yes.
Thank you very much. So local Italian trend varieties, especially Italians, are in demand, in huge demand, because they are amicable, understandable. They fit into pay less, get more formula, which is very fashionable now, and perfectly matched with Italian food, which is one of the most popular here in Russia. As for staying at home trend, which is more popular among wealthy people by very obvious reasons, wealthy people are looking for peace, unique wines. And that's why we have another trend for small import companies organized and conducted by the former sommeliers or big distributors, ex-employees. They have up to 20 highly requested wineries on their portfolio and working with niche. So it can be some selected Piemonte, Brunello, Chianti, together with Burgundy, Northern Rhone, Champagne, and etc. And as a sequel of staying at home trend, people started to travel inside Russia, especially to the south of Russia, to our local wineries. This is a very promising trend, as people who never drank wines before started to drink finally. And because you can't resist terroir, you know. But old and new world imported wines found themselves in the rising competition with Russian production, which is increasing monthly. What has changed for wine business? I think we have to work harder, run faster, be ready to predict and select gems in a sea of different wines. Maybe like that?
Yes, that's great, Vlada. That was so exhaustive. I need to get you into my team. So you can put everything.
Thank you much. See, I'm always ready, you know, I'm following you everywhere.
Thank you very much. I would like to now go to Nikolai. Let me just reset the room. We're talking about Russia wine market. We have all the movers and shakers of Russia wine market here. I'm really loving this panel, despite some technical problems we have today. So we will be taking questions also from additional questions from the audience. We had a kind of a slow start, but I would like to just finish the first round of the panelists, the introduction. And lastly, but not, you know, the least favorite, is Nikolai.
Hopefully.
Nikolai is a good friend of course, Oz. He's been in the business. He looks young, but he's been in the business for 18 years. And of course, he works for another importing company called Marex, based in St. Petersburg. And I have a little soft heart for St. Petersburg. I know most of you don't think I have a family. I do have one husband and two daughters. And my first daughter is Russian. She's from St. Petersburg, so I have a soft heart there. He is also our Vinicola International Italian Wine Ambassador. So I'm going to ask him a question with regards to wine education. How has it been going in terms of organizing wine education programs? And have you have any experience with virtual tasting? What are you doing, basically? Give us the rundown.
Yeah, thank you, Steven. I'm the owner and director. So first of all, do you hear me well?
Yep.
Cool. So I'm the founder, the owner, and one of the main teachers of independent wine school. The lockdown brought some benefits to us because we never had enough time to prepare the different online courses. And then during the lockdown, we were forced to do that. And actually, it was quite fine. But then, in autumn, we realized that there is a big decline in the demand of the market. So people were tired from different online courses, online sessions, online discussions. And finally, the HoReCa was working well, and even the schools were allowed to continue the programs in offline version. So we only do wine English courses online, and the rest of the courses we are doing in the offline format. But what is the tendency, let's say? So usually we had a very big demand from the professional audience because we do courses for amateur wine lovers, and we do the professional courses. And so we have a bigger demand, growing demand for the, let's say, amateur wine lover courses. And we have a decline in the professional courses. And this is logical because HoReCa sector suffers a lot during this period because of all of these reasons, which my colleagues mentioned before. We are trying to keep all the kind of courses in our school.
Okay, great, Nikolai. Okay, listen, you guys, I'm going to welcome also Alexei Levichev. Actually, Alexei is the only person I don't know from the panel because Anatoly has gone missing in action. So he's the marketing group head of Italy Premium and Simple Wine Group. He also teaches at the Enotra, I imagine, also con Veronica, our friend. And we have a couple of questions for him as well. How did the pandemic change the way that distributors interact with consumers? And what strategy did your company, Simple, apply in response to the new quote-unquote rules of the game? Welcome, Alexei.
Hi, Stevie. Thanks for introduction and hello to everybody. I'd like to mention that the pandemic situation influenced all the companies and all the groups equally in the market. So our approach was just to use our strong peculiarity, strong functions in the Simple Group. So we just rebalanced our approach, our forces. To support, obviously, our partners in HoReCa, and to give them all the possibilities to survive during this tough period. Meanwhile, we tried to give all our attention, all our passion, I'd say, in two other main channels, sales channels, that are retail and B2C channel. Obviously, we decided to be closer to our final consumer, to our client, and to give our client the maximum safety and safeness sensation during this this period, to be closer to our client all the time we are working in the market during the spring 2020, obviously, and to give the decisions and to give the products that are suitable to each particular client. We used analytics and also big data to choose better the best decision, the best product to each client that suits in the best way. And that was the main approach we used during the pandemic situation.
Thank you, Alexey, and thank you for substituting Natalie at the last minute. Now I would like to ask Elena, actually it says Jakuba, because at the office we have a problem that some of us don't have an iPhone, so Elena had sent, she had lent her phone to Jakuba. Now she's permanently Jakuba at the moment. But Elena, she's of course with Eugenia, our Russian wine team, and she has a question. Go ahead, Elena.
Hello. So such a great session, and thank you all of our speakers. And we have so many numbers, but I would like to ask another, a little bit different question. And my question is for Vlada, because Stevie mentioned that you are an influencer. So who are the wine influencers in Russia? And maybe can you define what wine influencers are?
Thank you for the question. So wine influencers and influencers in here in Russia are the people who are drinking as many different wines as average potential wine drinker can allow to himself. So to be an influencer, to my mind, one should have knowledge, practice, readiness to drink different wines without much snobism, and what is more important, pay for them. And the one who can analyze, speak in public, hold the audience, travel a lot, dedicate leisure to wine self-education. Could it be a celebrity? Not many of them. One has to have a background for it. I can remember only Leonid Parfenov, our TV journalist, who succeeded in wine influence. So still sommeliers, journalists, wine merchants, still in league, and people who discover and share with the wines in social media. So that's the way I think about the wine influence.
Great, thanks. So it's not so much celebrities, but it's more the education, more people who know about wines and like micro influencers, famous for some sectors. I mean, educational maybe important,
yes,
or something like that. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to ask Eugenia now if she has a question for one of the panelists.
Thank you, Stevie. Hi, everybody. My question is to Alexey. Buongiorno, Alexey.
Hi,
do you hear me?
Hi.
Hi. I know that you have a great project in Russia. Your company has a Simple Wine News magazine also. And my question was regarding the advertising situation in Russia. Is wine advertising still banned in Russia? What is the future of the advertisement for foreign wines in Russia?
Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
just not to be very detailed, I'd like to mention that the wine and alcohol advertising in Russia is prohibited, with some tiny, very small exceptions, and during the last maybe 5 or 7 years, there are some rumors that could be some legislative possibilities to change the Russian law to give some possibilities to Russian wine producers or to some other parts of alcoholic and wine industry, but still the situation is quite the same as 5 or 10 years ago. So the Simple Wine News magazine that you mentioned in your question is a very nice platform for all the wine distributors, for all the wine importers and producers to be closer to the final client, final consumer, and also to the professional public, because even if Simple Wine News is a project of Simple Group, obviously, but we are happy to give some space to all our partners and colleagues in the market, so it's a very nice platform to be closer to client.
Oh, thank you. I know this magazine for many, many years. I'm a follower of this magazine, so it's interesting forum, I think, for all producers. But a point of view, which is the best way in this situation to promote Italian wines in Russia? What do you think?
Sorry for turning back to the magazine question. I'd like only to mention that during the pandemic 2020, we are going in digital with this magazine, with this platform, and also in English, so it will be also useful not only for Russian language speakers or readers, but also for foreigners. So I hope it will be some certain way of communication for all the wine public all over the world. And next to the promotion of Italian wines, it's important for those producers who are already in the market to communicate better with the partners, with the importers, to find the better solution for each situation, for each possible important client, for example, in retail or in B2C channel, and to study well the situation with the pricing, with the price policy, with some certain activities for each channel. So it's a very important and very complicated job to be done in the market, to study it well and to use the right measures.
Tailor-made solutions, you mean, yeah?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Thank you,
Eugenia. Thank you, Alexei. Okay, Lan is our in-house, of course, house coordinator for VIA, and he's not familiar with the Russian market, but I think he has a question. And just a quick shout out to all of our VIA community. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead, Lan.
Thank you, Stevie. Thank you, all the speakers. I have never been to Russia, so my understanding of the market is mostly gained from the reading and the chattings. The last time I heard about the market, it was confirmed that Russia consumers share the same taste as we Chinese. So the ABBC is the Amarone, Barbaresco, Barolo, Chianti, and Super Toscans. So my question is, why are Italian wines so successful in the Russian market, and what are the most preferred Italian wine categories nowadays? This is for Elena and Dalia. I hope you can help me better understand the market. Thank you.
I guess he's looking for kind of like the secret formula, because In China, Italian wine has not been so successful. So I guess that's kind of his insight. Let's take Irina, if she's still on. Maybe we'll take her, and then Daria.
So, very interesting question. Italy and Russia are very close since ages, and you know that Italian cuisine is number one in Russia. Connection with fashion, with music, with opera is really is very strong. That's the point. A lot of Russians before pandemic, they were traveling to Italy with great pleasure, and Russian soul is very close to Italian one. So this is the answer, maybe. And I know that, as I know, Chinese market is not so, is less mature than the Russian market. That's why I think that Chinese preferences till now are Chateau Bordeaux, and also the wines you nominated. And it's Super Tuscany. It's not Russian situation, because Russian people in average they know Chianti, and Chianti is very important. Different type of Chianti, but Chianti, because Chianti goes very well with Italian food as a red one, and also Pinot Grigio, as Vlada said, Pinot Grigio is really typical Russian Italian wine, because it goes with everything too. And with years passing by, Russians learn to understand which is good or not, and now they are looking for a very small and very selective producer to have their own Pinot Grigio, and also the same story for Chianti. But as for Amarone Barolo, okay, but the Chinese approach with Grand Cru, for example, I think that that situation in Russia has changed maybe 10 or 15 years ago. That's my answer. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Daria?
Yeah, just something to add about the categories which is popular now, and what we saw last year, and it was very interesting to see that before the interest for Italian premium wines was always like for Barolo, for Brunello, for this high premium, for Super Tuscany, but it was stable. But last year, because of the lot of Russians had to remain in Russia because of the closure of the of the borders, they started to request more premium wines more often, which is was very surprising because of devaluation, the problem with the pricing, and so on. Premium was grown as a request last year, and for the sparkling wine, I can say that Italian sparkling nevertheless is growing step by step, and coming for the new categories, and people are very interested in different regional sparkling wines in Italy. And of course, as also Vlad and Irina mentioned about the new small wine regions, which is also under attention. I can't say that is a very huge volume. According custom statistic, you can't find a big pie for this like Etna or like Pinot Noir or like Alto Adige wines and so on, but it's still very, very rising attention wines in Russia. And what I would like to add to answer the long question, why Italian wine is so popular, I think also government and the Italian Vinitaly Wine Institute trying to do a lot of things in Russia to underline Italian regions, because I think Italian wine events is the biggest one part of wine events in Russia, which is also a very important thing. So promotion, once again, promotion and big big advice for the winemakers to make more collaboration with Russian importers about the online master classes and so on, because our last two months of 2021 confirms that even online masterclass with the wine producers is really helpful and attractive.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Daria and Irina. Listen, so let me just reset the room very quickly. We have about 12 minutes to close this room. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 speakers brought up to stage. So what I would like to do is the following. So welcome, Helen, Anastasia, Matthew, Alexander, Ilya. I hope I said that correctly. And what I would like to do is ask you to state your question, and please let us know who you're addressing the question to. And then Anastasia, Matthew, Alexander, Ilya, and then we will have the panelists answer your questions together. So we will regroup the questions and also the answers. Is that clear to everybody? Okay, great. Helen.
Hi, thanks for bringing me up. I'm Helen, based in Sicily, actually, and working with tourism and artisanal winemakers. So my question was the following. Which are the dynamics in Russia when it comes to like more niche market, like natural wines, biodynamic wines?
Okay, maybe I think that's a good one for Vlada. Okay,
yeah.
Anastasia?
Thanks.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to meet you all. You have already been discussing the topic of influencers on social media. And basically, my question is about the potential of growth of wine influencers. So basically, I'm representing one. Ilya and I have a blog, Wine Wanters. We have around 14K followers. And I'm trying to understand why on the Russian market there are not many of us. Yeah, there are a lot of like micro influencers whose amount of followers is not more than 10K. And speaking about like influencers who have over 10,000, you can just count them by the fingers on your hands.
Anastasia, I have to ask you to just quickly ask the question, because we don't have that much time.
So yeah, why is that? Why the followers of the Russian wine influencers, that amount is so small?
Great. Matthew, you're up.
I'll make it super quick. Thanks, Stevie. Either one, Irina, Vlada, or Daria can answer. I'm fascinated with Russia. I took a Russian literature course in university. It was my favorite course I took. My question is, you talked about Russian wines are gaining in market share, but you didn't give an. Do you know what the actual percentage is in terms of markets taken up by Russian wines, the domestic wines?
Okay. Alexander, welcome. Have you got a comment or a question for our panelists?
Yeah, actually, hello, Stevie. Actually, I got a comment on media landscape. So if you have like 1 minute for me, I can easily add some information that Alexei didn't mention, but it's all up to you. Yeah, so so actually even though direct advertising of wine and, you know, like any alcoholic beverages are prohibited in Russia, so, but you can do any like different marketing things, you know. Besides Instagram, there is like a super popular Telegram channels that person, like a lot of people, they do their blogs there, and it's very easy to, like, because of its messenger, it's easy to make some groups and to, you know, like to look to invite people to discuss some things because they open comments and so on. And regarding digital and printed press, there are some, you know, like some Italian producers are great producers of olive oil as well, and some market, they you know, like the bottles are very similar to the wines they make. So called Sasikaya, and it's like one more point to go that direction and trying to be and to have like a broader media coverage by using this image. And another thing, what we do like in a Simple Wine use for 15 years, so there are some, you know, like legal exemptions that you can do. So we're, as you know, we're not just magazine, we're just we are also a publishing house that produce a lot of books, and there's like, it's like a general interest books for the wine lovers who just, you know, like starting they, you know, like doing something, starting to they experience in wine. And there are a lot of different books for like very wine connoisseurs, and we're about to launch this end of March a special like a luxury publication dedicated to wine connoisseurs on the very specific wine topics. So actually, with all these restrictions, they force you to invent some new things. And actually, if someone from wine producer would love to integrate to Russian market, I would definitely recommend to explore this blogosphere and also these Telegram channels, because there are a lot of them. Some of them are very niche, some of them very broad. And also, I would mention, you know, to have a look to Simple Wine Use, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alexander. Maybe we can dedicate a room for, you know, communication in Russia.
Yeah,
in another moment.
It's a total different landscape.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ilya.
Hi, Stevie. Thank you. Yeah, my question mostly related to Matthews and addressed to Daria and Irina. Do you foresee in a nearest future that Russian wines can overtake actually quite a big part of the market share? And for example, somebody mentioned 33% now is Italian wine. And in relation to the question from Matthew, what do you foresee? Do you have any analytics in for the future if this share can be reduced used by taking local wines?
Okay, great. So let me just review. One of the questions was regarding niche markets, especially like organic natural wines. If Vlad, if you want to have a stab at that. There was some follow-up questions regarding wine influenza, and then something about the domestic wine market. What I would like to do now is just have a round, the final round from the panelists, and you can either address or comment and last remarks to today. So I will start with Irina, Vlada, Daria, Nikolai, and then Alexei to close. Irina.
Sorry. So maybe I will answer the question about the part of local wines, if it will be increasing or not.
Great.
Yes, it will, but I don't think that in the nearest future it could be really considerably increased, because quality price wise, not everything very, very good with Russian wines. This is my opinion. Thank you.
Great.
As for natural wines, natural wines is the tool to attract young generation to wine consumption. And while top experts argue on that question, I'm very happy to have this magnet for youngsters, because otherwise they go to cider, beer, cocktails, and etc. But biodynamics is another thing. More and more wineries, as we can see now in classical region, shift to it. So I think it's not the like trendy, fashionable something, but it's the movement again among the winemakers, but not the consumers. We would like to consume anything from our lovely wineries and lovely winemakers, and even not to think how they done it, just like that.
Thank you, Vlada. Daria, you're up.
Yes, I would like also to add something for biodynamic and organic wines. So, of course, these wines are more than welcome. The unique question is that the organic and biodynamic case haven't protect high price of the product, because this is the big point of view, and wineries that try to sell 100% more price these wines is very difficult to be protected in Russia. So, and the question about the market share about Russian and import wines, of course, Russian wines share is rather big. And with the Russian policy for a moment, government policy, they started to support the Russian wineries and so on. But if each one maker that listening us can easily imagine that it's long time we need to have this high quality of the product that now Europe can give us as an example. So the compare price quality is still very, very low.
Thank you. Nikolai.
Oh, I'm here.
Yes.
So regarding the natural organic biodynamic wines, let's say, so because I work also for wine importing company and we operate all over the country, actually it's an interesting question because Russia is huge and mostly I would say we have just several cities where it's really trendy, but mostly it's a trend for HoReCa sector. Although now we see an increasing demand in the supermarkets for that kind of wines, but in the supermarkets they're asking for lower price category. So in this case, I would say it's a growing trend in both sectors, but mostly in the biggest cities and with the different price categories. And speaking about the Russian wines, we really see also increasing demand from the people. So now Russian wine, they're really trendy. People are ready to buy them. People are curious to try them. But I agree with my colleagues that it will take some time, definitely, for them to occupy, to get the big market share.
Great, thank you, Nikolai. And lastly, Alexei.
Thanks, Stevie. Just to note, the total domestic local market, including what Italian call vinaccia, so the low-level wine, takes approximately 70% to 30% of imported wine market. So the quote of Russian, of local market is quite big. And the main hope, the main attitude of all importers is that the wealth of Russian population will grow in next year. So it's the most, I'd say, important point to give all our hopes to grow the Italian import in Russia, or in general imported wine quote in the Russian wine market. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Alexei. Thank you, everybody, all the panelists, Irina, Vlada, Daria, Nikolai, Alexei, and Anatoly, who came and went in one nanosecond. We spoke about Russia wine market. I know there were a lot of hands raised today. I couldn't get you all on board. So maybe we can do another time. And don't forget to join us tomorrow, 8 p.m., where we will have four Amarone women wine producers, Marilisa Allegrini, Sabrina Tedeschi, Musella Maddalena Pasqua di Bisceglie, and of course, Nadia Zenato. Okay, so see you tomorrow, 8 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stevie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.